You're listening to RN Breakfast. Fran Kelly with you on this Thursday morning. And if you've tried to buy software recently, you might have realised it's a lot cheaper to get it overseas. IT hardware, software and content is generally more expensive in Australia than it is in most of the rest of the world. And last year, the federal government began a parliamentary inquiry to try and work out why that is. The House of Reps Standing Committee on Infrastructure and Communications is coming to the end of public hearings on this. And while many have made submissions, last week the committee took the step of calling Apple, Microsoft and Adobe to give evidence. Adobe, that makes the program Photoshop, have been criticised in recent weeks because it's cheaper to fly to America to buy some of their products than it is to buy them here, unbelievably. Our technology editor, Peter Marks, has been reading the submissions, and there's 104 of them so far. No wonder you look so tired, Peter. Good morning.
I hope I don't look tired.
Peter, shopping online, increasingly popular. Surely this creates the perfect free market where prices are known and products flow freely. Does that apply for digital content as well?
Well, you would think so. And of course, what it does is it empowers consumers who can look up the prices in other countries. But if you've ever tried to buy a product from another country, a reseller in another country at a cheap price, you'll often find you'll get a fair way down the sales process and will say, oh, sorry, you're not in the right region, you can't purchase, and they'll try to redirect you to a local sales outlet.
Is this for anything or more particularly for IT?
Particularly for software, but all digital content is being investigated. That includes music, games, movies, and of course software. And the point has been made that when you're buying bits and you're, say, buying them from an online store, those bits are identical. They're coming through the same infrastructure, and it should be the same price globally. There are some movements, you know, according to our exchange rate, and I think that's really heightened the interest in this. But look, IT, particularly software, is a big part of the economy, and if we pay more in Australia to buy software, then that really harms our competitiveness.
Just for those of us who haven't tried, just give us a price differential, an example, can you?
Well, look, one of the submissions, an excellent submission, was from Choice, and they did a big survey of music, PC games, software and Wii console games. Mm-hmm. This was last year. Their research, on average, found a price differential of approximately 50%. Now, there are some hilarious cases, like the Adobe Creative Suite case, where it's $1,500 more expensive.
That's a huge amount, isn't it? And what do people like, or companies like Adobe, or Microsoft and Apple for that matter, what do they say about that?
Well, look, they say that they are primarily a sales and marketing subsidiary in Australia. They have 166 staff. 85% of their sales are through so-called channel partners. So they've got quite a complicated arrangement where they import the software, still a lot of inboxes, which is a little bit archaic. They haven't played along with the App Store idea so far, perhaps because the prices tend to be lower. They have resellers, they have wholesalers, they have resellers, and there's margins at every one of these steps. So to me, looking at that, it does seem like their model is a little bit archaic now compared to, say, buying some music where you just buy it from, you know, the store internationally.
But some of it you're buying actual physical things.
Yeah, but you don't need to anymore. I mean, once the internet goes fast enough, I mean, some of these products like Photoshop comes with a lot of clip art, and so it needs to be downloaded. But I think the point is they're really gripping on to the old model, which was quite profitable. Some of the submissions make the point that, look, we're in business, and part of business is making profit, and part of making profit is charging what the market will bear, and the history has been that Australians will pay more. There is a 10% GST, so people mustn't be confused by seeing a 10% price differential, but what we're seeing is much more than that. Now, Apple, in their submission, of course, they're selling a lot of music and movies, and they are, again, the same bits through the same infrastructure. They say that, look, they take a fixed margin, and it's not their problem. It's the copyright holders who are setting the prices, so it is the wholesale price set by labels and studios, which is to blame in their case. They say that with developers do choose a pricing tier, but again, they just take a fixed 30%.
Yes, but presumably those studios and those people are still having an impact on the price in, say, the US or Britain. It is still a lot cheaper.
And for some reason, yes. I mean, the same thing happens with books here. Although, you remember a couple of years ago under the Rudd government, there was an inquiry into book, should we allow parallel inputs of books? And after extensive lobbying by local authors and publishers, the government decided not to allow that. So I think we're really really in the same boat with software. We should allow parallel importing. Government should stop these, you know, limitations of geographies. And it's not just an Australian problem, it's a global problem.
One of the breakfast team has chipped in with, what about printer ink, which costs a huge amount here, of course.
I think
I've never tried to buy it online.
Toner is the most valuable substance on earth. It's more expensive than gold
by mass. That's exactly right. We're talking to Peter Marks, our technology editor, about movements in technology generally, but in particular in this case, how much more we pay if we're trying to buy these things online than we can get them overseas. Peter, to another story, we were speaking on the program yesterday about the alleged hacking by the Chinese government of something like 140 US companies. Dan McWhorter from Mandiant traced the attack. Now, you're a bit skeptical about his claim that the Chinese military is behind this. Why?
Look, I listened to your story yesterday, the interview yesterday, and I've had done some reading on it. Now, there's no doubt that a lot of hacking of large American corporations has been traced back to China. Google, for example, in 2011 said that many of their servers had been hacked, and they pointed the finger back at China in general as being the origin of that. But I think what that company was alleging yesterday was drawing a little bit of a long bow. They were saying
there's
that
a lot of circumstantial bits there was. They put
together. They were saying that a lot of people would be required to do the hacking. It was coming from the Shanghai Pudong district, and if you have a lot of people, there's a military base there which has a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they were trying to draw those straws together. Of course, China has completely denied it and says that they don't allow state run hacking. I think that we can take that with a grain of salt. There's a lot of hacking going on in all directions, and Eric Schmidt in his recent book has said that when he's been in China, he raises it with the Chinese officials and they deny everything, even though he's got logs and things showing it. So look, I think, there's no doubt there's hacking going on. This is, the new war ground of international espionage and, of course, commercial espionage. But whether that can be drawn back to the military, I think I'm a bit sceptical.
It's hard to prove these things, though, at any point. Peter, thanks very much.
Thank you, Fran.
Peter Marks is our technology editor here on Breakfast. It's 8:40.